Well, good morning, everyone. I'm coming off of a week of being sick. You know, I used to think that I had a really good immune system, and then I had kids. Maybe some of you know what that's like. It turns out it's actually a lot harder to stay healthy when you have a kid who's telling you stories and sneezing in your face at the same time. So I was a little under the weather this week, but really, as a culture, I mean, we're kind of obsessed with health and wellness, which is ironic because we're also a pretty unhealthy culture in a lot of ways. But really, modern medicine has provided some real cures and ways to relieve suffering that, you know, if we had these even 100 years ago, we would have regarded it as miraculous. You know, the options that we have for procedures and medications are simply staggering. But even apart from traditional healthcare, you know, we have all of these opportunities for alternative remedies and for self-care, you know, whether it's yoga classes, supplements, essential oils, meditation apps on your phone, gym memberships, nutritional shakes. I mean, there's this whole host of things out there that we can look to improve our health and our wellness. But the question I want us to think about this morning is, where does healing come from? Where do we look for healing? So the global family of churches that Eastgate belongs to is known as the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And one of the things that Alliance churches talk about is something that we call the fourfold gospel. And the fourfold gospel is just a simple idea that Jesus is our Savior, He's our Sanctifier, He's our Healer, and He's our coming King. And we're looking at each one of those four statements this month. And you can probably guess that today we've come to the statement that says Jesus is our Healer. We believe that you can pray for physical healing in Jesus' name. And that belief in divine healing is part of our identity as the Alliance because it was part of the experience of our founder, a man named A.B. Simpson. So as throughout his early adult life, A.B. Simpson perpetually was dealing with poor health. You know, he had a variety of illnesses and ailments that kept him in this weakened state. And things came to a head in 1881 when he was pastoring a church in New York City, and his heart and his nerves were in such poor shape that he actually had to take an extended health leave. And while he was on leave, he went to a Christian retreat center in Old Orchard, Maine. And while he was there, he was exposed to this biblical teaching on divine healing. And he also heard stories of how people had been healed, and he talked with people who had been healed. And so he started thinking to himself, well, if they can be healed, why can't I? So he started to study what the Bible had to say about healing, and he became convinced that divine healing was available today. And so he went out into the woods on a Friday afternoon, and he just spent all afternoon praying for God to heal him. And while he was praying, he felt the overwhelming presence of Christ in his life. And he said later that every fiber in my soul was tingling with the sense of God's presence. And he rose from his knees that day convinced that God had healed him. And to test it out, a few days later, he climbed a mountain, something he never would have been able to do before. And as he came down the mountain, he was convinced that God had made him a new man. And actually, until the end of his life, he never suffered a serious health problem again. So what do you think? I don't know what your reaction to a story like that is, but what do you think? Does Jesus heal today? If he does, how does he do it? So those are important questions. But to explore that question, we're going to look at James chapter 5. So if you have a Bible or if you want to grab the Bible in the pew in front of you, you can find James chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 13 to 18 this morning. So if you want to use one of the pew Bibles, you can find the book of James in our passage on page 1013. It's page 1013 in the pew Bibles. Now, healing is kind of a tricky subject to talk about, so I'm going to try to speak about it carefully this morning. But one of the things that we can, as followers of Jesus, wholeheartedly affirm is that Jesus is the healer that we desperately need. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I mean, I don't really have any authority to tell you anything from this pulpit except what comes from the Word of God. So let's look together at James chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 13 to 18. James writes, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruits. This is the word of the Lord. So what is this passage about? Most of us, when we read this passage, we would say that this passage is about healing. And it is, but even more fundamentally than that, this passage is about prayer. So in every verse of this passage, prayer is mentioned. So James, the Apostle James, who is the brother of Jesus, he's writing this letter to Christians who are going through a hard time in a lot of areas of life. I mean, they were being persecuted. A lot of them were in poverty and they were being oppressed by the rich. They were suffering different conflicts between them in the church. And so he's writing to them and he wants to tell them something about prayer. So in verse 13, he exhorts them, are you suffering? Pray. Are you cheerful? Sing praise. You can pray in every circumstance of life. You know, when we're suffering, we're tempted to think that God doesn't care about us, that he's forgotten us. When things are going well, we're tempted to think that we don't need God. But the Christian life, in whatever circumstance, whether things are going well or things are going poorly, the Christian life is lived towards God in praise and in prayer. So whatever is going on, whether life's going well, whether it's all falling apart, we can and we should turn to God. So that's the general theme of the passage. But James then gives this very specific instance of suffering, and he connects it to prayer. So in verse 14, he says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So James is making a really important claim there. He's claiming that Jesus is able to heal, and he's saying that prayer is what connects us to that healing power. So if we're going to talk about how Jesus is our healer, we need to get three questions straight in our minds. So why do we need healing in the first place? Why do we need healing? Where does it come from? And then how can we get access to it? So we're going to talk about the need for healing, the source, and the access to it. So first, let's just talk about the need for healing, because we're whole people. You know, we're body and soul, flesh and spirit, and every part of us is in need of healing. So we need not just physical healing, but we need spiritual healing as well. And I don't think anyone in here needs to be convinced that there's a need for physical healing. I mean, we've all gotten sick, we've all been injured, and we'll continue to get sick, we'll continue to be injured. Our need for healing is self-evident. And in fact, this whole week while I was preparing this sermon, I was battling sickness. And that was a light form of illness, but I know that many people in here, I know that you're dealing with situations that are a lot more serious than that. And a lot of you are caring for people who are dealing with serious situations. But why are things this way? I mean, why do we get sick? Because this isn't how we were created. When you read the beginning chapters of Genesis in the Bible, you read that this is not the way that things are supposed to be. When God first created us, when he first created humanity, sickness and death weren't part of the picture. So sickness exists in the world because of sin. In Genesis chapter 3, we read that when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, when they sinned against God, the consequences were devastating. It's what we sometimes refer to as the fall. So when sin entered the world, sickness and death came along with it. So in a general sense, we get sick because we live in a fallen world. We all get sick. We all suffer. We all eventually will die, whether that's from illness or from something else. And James, when he's talking in this passage about sickness, he's talking about physical sickness. So in verse 15, we read that the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So that is, the person will be made physically well. But then, right after that, James goes on to say, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So the fact that he goes on to talk about sin also tells us of this other area of our lives where we need healing. Our need for healing extends beyond the physical effects of sin in our bodies and extends to the spiritual effects of sin. So we're all familiar with the terrible effects of cancer, right? We all know what cancer can do, but sin is like a spiritual cancer. The selfishness and pride in our lives, they often go unnoticed by us. I mean, they're definitely noticeable to other people, but we often don't see the selfishness and pride in our lives. But it's there beneath the surface, and it's killing us. So sin separates us from the God that we were created by and for whom we're supposed to be living. And if it's left unchecked, the spiritual cancer of sin will take each one of us to that spiritual death that the Bible calls hell. And to deal with that spiritual cancer by simply ignoring it, I mean, that's as foolish as it would be to just ignore physical cancer. So this is our human condition. Physically, spiritually, we've been ruined by sin in every area of our lives. So we need healing. But where should we look for it? How should we go about looking for healing? Where does it come from? So we see throughout the Bible that God is not only our creator, but he's our healer as well. And we've already heard a beautiful testimony of that. Thank you, Emily, of how God is bringing healing to this fallen world. But in the Old Testament, God revealed himself again and again as the healer of his people. So one of the names of God in the Old Testament is Jehovah Rapha, our Lord who heals. So in Exodus chapter 15, God tells the Israelites after he's brought them out of Egypt that if you'll walk in my ways, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, your healer. And then in Psalm 103, which Pastor Mark read earlier, the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." And then the prophets in the Old Testament prophesied this coming day when righteousness and healing would be brought to the people. So in the book of Malachi, so we're right back to the minor prophets. You thought we'd left them behind. In the book of Malachi, which we just talked about a few weeks ago, Malachi says that the Lord says through Malachi that for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. And we see in this and then in other Old Testament prophecies that healing power would be one of the credentials that showed that God's promised Messiah was on the scene, that God's promised Savior had come. And all of those promises come together in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. So he was the very Son of God. He was the very healing God, Jehovah Rapha of the Old Testament. And he was made flesh and blood and he walked on the earth. And when you read through the Gospels, you read the stories of Jesus, one of the things that jumps out at you right away is that he healed a lot of people. So if you look at all of the four Gospels together, we read about 35 different miracles that Jesus did throughout the Gospels. And of those 35 miracles, 28 of them fall into the category of some sort of physical or bodily or mental healing. So again and again and again throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus has power and he has authority to heal. And there are two things that stand out about the way that Jesus healed people. There are a couple of things that stand out to me. The first thing is that there was never a sick person that Jesus was unable to heal. You know, we run across that all the time, even with all of the benefits of modern medicine. There are times when doctors are unable to heal, but that never happened to Jesus, whether it was blindness or paralysis, epilepsy, a whole host of other ailments, Jesus healed them all. And that tells me that Jesus is God, because only God has that kind of unlimited power. And in fact, that's what the miracles that Jesus did, these healing miracles, what they were supposed to communicate to people. That Jesus is God, that he is the promised Messiah. So not only was there never a sick person that Jesus was unable to heal, but we're also never told that Jesus was unwilling to heal someone. So you will never find a story in the Gospels where someone comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, I want to be healed," and Jesus says, "Sorry, come back later, I'm a little busy." He was never unwilling to heal anyone. So that tells me that Jesus is compassionate. You know, the miracles weren't just promotional items showing people that he was God, but they were acts of compassion that were intended to relieve human suffering. And they show us the very heart of God, that God cares about our suffering. He cares about our pain. He wants to relieve the effects of sin. So Jesus is the good physician that we all need. He's able and he's willing to heal everything that's wrong within us. And in fact, he's so committed to our healing, he's so committed to our redemption, that he even went to the cross. By his death and his resurrection, Jesus has defeated for all time sin and death. And he's accomplished our redemption. So he's redeeming and he's healing not only us, but he's redeeming all of creation. So in the book of Revelation, at the end of the Bible, we're given this vision of a new heavens and a new earth where there's no more pain, there's no more suffering, there are no more tears. And one day we will experience that healing in all of its fullness. But in the meantime, we get sick. We get injured. We live in a fallen world. And yet, even now, Jesus is at work healing. And so that's why you see in James chapter 5, in verses 14 and 15, we're told that the elders are supposed to anoint the sick person with oil and pray in the name of the Lord. So to pray in the name of the Lord, this isn't some sort of magical formula or incantation that's supposed to heal. But to pray in Jesus' name simply means to call on his power. Because the elders aren't the one that's healing the sick person. Jesus is. The elders know that Jesus is the healer, and they know that when that sick person is made well, it's because the Lord has raised him up. So Jesus is the source of the healing that we need, and we're told very clearly in James chapter 5 that we've been given access to the healer himself through prayer. So let's look at these prayers for healing that are described in James chapter 5, because we actually see a couple examples there of how we as a church can pray and we can ask Jesus to heal the sick that are among us. So the access to healing. But before I go on to talk about praying for healing, let me just say clearly that in my mind there is no conflict at all between believing that Jesus heals and going to see a doctor or taking medication. God has given us medicine. He's given us doctors as gifts. He's given us these things to be enjoyed, to be used. And ultimately, all healing, whether it's through ordinary means or whether it's through extraordinary means, it all comes from God. So whenever a person is made well, however that happens, God ultimately is at the root of that. Whenever a person recovers from illness, it's always an act of grace. But in addition to availing ourselves of all that modern medicine has to offer, we can also follow the pattern that we're given in James chapter 5, and we can actually pray for healing. So the first prayer that we see in James 5 is this prayer of the elders. So James tells the sick person, call for the elders of the church. So evidently this was a serious enough sickness that this person couldn't get up himself and go to the elders. The elders had to come to him. And this is all assuming that he's part of a church and that this church has elders. And what are elders anyway? So our church has elders, if you didn't know that. But what is an elder? It's not the oldest person in the congregation. It's not a person who's been invested with miraculous power to heal people. Elders are just people who are recognized for their spiritual maturity. They're people who are entrusted with the leadership of the church. So the elders are going to this sick person as representatives of the church, as leaders of the church. And when they're called, they're supposed to pray when they get there. Pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So they pray for this sick person, and they're obviously not praying about his cat. They're praying for healing. But they're also supposed to anoint him with oil. So what in the world is that all about, this anointing with oil? There's some differences of opinion. Some people say that this anointing with oil was medicinal. So this was like ancient medical practice. And it's true that oil was used medicinally in ancient times. So that's a possibility. But then other people say that it's a symbolic act. So it's symbolic of the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a symbolic act of consecration where this person is being set apart for the work of God. So I think that's probably what James is talking about. That's what the oil is functioning as a symbol of God's healing power. And that's often why we anoint with oil today. You know, it's not like oil is a requirement before you can pray for healing, like God's up there thinking, all right, well, nice prayer, but where's the oil? Let's see some oil. No, but it's symbolic of God's power to heal. So the oil doesn't heal, but Jesus does. And then we read that the prayer of faith will save the one who's sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So a couple of things here. We're told ultimately it's the Lord who raises up the sick person, but it's the prayer of faith that moves him to do that. So faith is an important component in this whole process. Praying with this expectation that God is actually hearing me and He's actually going to respond. And of course, we have to recognize that God's will in the matter is always supreme, and God doesn't always will to heal the believer. You know, in Titus chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says that he left his traveling companion Trophimus sick in Miletus. So it's not like Paul didn't have enough faith to pray for Trophimus to be healed. It's just that sometimes God chooses not to heal. It's not automatic. Just this past Wednesday, I was really sick, but I had to go and teach ESL class in the evening. So I was praying all day that God would heal me, that I would be able to teach well and make it through the class. And I got to about 45 minutes into the class, and then I ran to the bathroom to throw up. So God did not heal me. And luckily, Leslie and Andy Riegel were there, and they were able to carry on the class without me. But sometimes God doesn't heal, but He does heal. So knowing that sometimes He chooses not to shouldn't make us timid. It shouldn't make us shy in asking. In 2015, Katie and I had been trying to get pregnant for about a year, and we were pretty discouraged. I mean, it had been what felt like a really long time, and we were about to start, about to go see a doctor to see if there was anything wrong. We were telling this to someone, and this godly older woman named Judy told us that before you do that, you need to be prayed over. You need to be anointed with oil. We said, okay. We were working with a missionary team in Spain at the time, and we didn't really have elders, but we asked some people on the team to, we gathered them together, we told them the situation, we asked them to pray for us, and they did. The next month, we got pregnant with our daughter, June. And you could look at that and you could say that that was a coincidence. But I really think that God healed whatever was wrong in us, and He did it to strengthen our faith. And after I finish speaking, Pastor Mark's going to come up, and he's going to give an invitation to come forward after the service. And if you have something that you would like to be prayed for, the elders will be here available, and they will pray for you. And if that's unfamiliar to you, if you've never been in a church where they've done this before, let me just assure you, you haven't wandered into some strange cult. This is actually an ancient practice of the church. It's been practiced throughout church history. And I know that for some of you, that will be a big step to come forward and ask for prayer. But this is an opportunity for Jesus the healer to be glorified in your life. So let me just encourage you not to miss it. Jesus cares about your sickness. He cares about your pain. And He is able to heal. Let me point out as well, in verse 16, we see this shift from the prayer of the elders to the prayer of all the believers in the church. So in verse 16, we read, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." So that shift from elders to believers in general reminds us again that the prayer, or that the power to heal, isn't in the elders, it's in prayer. So all believers have that privilege and that responsibility of confessing their sins to one another and praying for one another that we might be healed. And in the second half of verse 16, we read, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." So we should all be striving for righteousness to live in accord with God's will more and more in our lives. But I think the righteous person is simply the believer. Now, the person who is righteous because he or she has received forgiveness through Jesus. So prayer is a powerful weapon, even in the hands of the humblest believer. You don't have to be a super saint to pray effectively. And that's really what the example of Elijah that we're given in verses 17 and 18 is all about. We're told that this great Old Testament prophet Elijah, you know, for all of the great things that he did, at the end of the day, he was just a man with a nature like ours. Yet when he prayed, amazing things happened. You know, stories from the Bible like Elijah seem far off and they seem really distant from our experience. And yet James is using this example of Elijah to say that we can expect the same sort of thing in our own lives. We pray to the same God that Elijah did. We can pray like Elijah did, and we can expect God to answer. So as we close, the question that I have for us is this. When you pray, do you expect anything to happen? The prayer of a righteous person has great power. Do you believe that? There was once a time when a father brought his child to Jesus, who was possessed by an evil spirit. And we're told that the father told Jesus, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And of course, later on in the story, Jesus casts the demon out and heals the child on the spot. But maybe that's the prayer that you can pray today. I believe, help my unbelief. So don't look at yourself and ask, do I have enough faith to be healed? Or do I have enough faith to pray for healing? Just look at Jesus, the healer, and trust that he is enough. Let's pray, and then I'll have Pastor Mark come up and close us. Heavenly Father, we know a couple things about faith from your word. We know that faith comes in response to hearing your word. And Lord, we've heard your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for that gift of hearing your voice in Scripture. But Lord, we also know that faith is a gift. So Lord, we've heard your word, and now I ask that you would work in our hearts and our minds to give us the gift of faith. Lord, would you strengthen our faith, and would you allow us to pray, believing that you hear, believing that you care, believing that you can heal. I ask all of this for the glory of Jesus and in his name. Amen.